This is Tofu Dave with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOMLP Chapel Hill and Carbora. Today, a really provocative book. I'm here with author Mark Katz, new book that he wrote with Aline Braxton, Rap and Redemption on Death Row. Mark, do I have you on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Mark. Well, I'm not going to give too much introduction. I'm going to let you tell the audience, what's this about, Rap and Redemption on Death Row with Aline Braxton?
Well, Aline Braxton is a rapper, writer, and activist who is on death row in North Carolina. He's been in prison since 1993, on death row since 1997. And I got to know him about 5 years ago when he was looking for assistance in making a recording, a rap album. And this book chronicles his journey towards both redemption and the creation of this rap album. And the purpose of the album is in part to call attention to injustice within the system, and in part to take responsibility for his crimes.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting story, and it sounds like Aline is a guy who's thought a lot about, obviously, not only his own situation, but the broader implications. We will hope, with your help, to get him on the line at a future date, but barring that, I guess you'll have to speak not only for yourself, but in some sense, signed for a little bit for him. I know the subtitle to your book, again, Rap and Redemption on Death Row, just out on University of North Carolina Press. The subtitle is Seeking Justice and Finding Purpose Behind Bars. And it's the second part of that really intrigues me. When you're locked up for something egregious that you have done, the system does not seem to encourage you to find a purpose in life. How did Mr. Braxton find any purpose, and what is that purpose?
Well, first of all, I do wish he could speak for himself, but I was in touch with him recently, and he did ask me to talk on his behalf. But he found purpose in part because it was the only way for him to keep living. He was in solitary confinement for 7.5 years at one stretch, and it is just incredibly inhumane treatment to anybody. And he lost his will to live. He had no purpose, but he found God. He converted to Islam, and he also used his rap, which he had been in love with since he was a child before he went to prison, to as a form of self-therapy. This is something he said many times, as a way to externalize all the grief, the hate, the shame that he felt. So you're right. The system is not set up to facilitate any kind of rehabilitation, unfortunately, or finding purpose. People are left up to their own, for the most part, for that. And he managed to do that in part because he didn't see any other way to live. But then once he found that purpose, it has motivated him ever since.
Mm-hmm. And again, we will try to get Mr. Braxton on the line with us on Between the Covers at some point. I noticed that you're a music professor at UNC. Could you talk a little bit about what your musical background is and how that relates to your interest in this project?
Well, as you said, I'm a music professor at UNC. I'm a musicologist. I grew up playing violin and actually grew up playing and listening to classical music. But over the past 25 years now, I've been doing a lot of work in the world of hip hop. And so it's my research on hip hop that connected Lean Braxton to me because there was a brief article in the News and Observer about them work in hip hop I was doing at UNC, and he saw that and wrote to me. My work is as a scholar of music and culture. I'm particularly interested in technology. I'm interested in hip hop, quite a few other things as well. But it's that work on music and technology and hip hop that really connects me to Aleem, because he's obviously he's a hip hop artist, being a rapper, but he's in a very unusual circumstance or place where he is deprived of technologies that most of us on the outside have access to. So in addition to all the other things that are interesting about his story, his kind of the technological deprivation that he contends with, meaning that he has no equipment, he can only use the prison phone, is fascinating, and it's remarkable how he has managed to record a whole album, which in fact just came out a few days ago, just by calling other people on the phone and rapping over the prison phone.
That's a really interesting topic and a fascinating part of your book. I want to get to it, and for some listeners that may not be familiar with this kind of discussion, i.e. access to technology while incarcerated, I want to mention a few stories that came up on community radio. We had William Elmore and my partner Susan Simone on to discuss their book, Prison from the Inside Out, a couple of years ago. And one of the interesting stories coming out of, forget exactly, but 25 years behind bars for him was even an automatic door at Walmart opening and closing, or how do you go to the wash your hands in the bathroom when there's no knobs? So I think people incarcerated are somewhat isolated from technology, and I've listened to some of this music that Mr. Braxton did, and it certainly sounds like it's up to date. So how did that happen where he could basically only write and maybe speak into a phone? How did that come out to something that sounds so produced?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that it sounds that way, because it's very hard to make it sound polished, because you're really working from a deficit using an analog microphone in a wall prison phone.
Yeah.
But really my part in all this is in connecting him to a professional producer whose artist name is Nick Neutron, a friend of mine. And what Aleem did, and this is condensing a very long saga, but he calls, Aleem calls Nick. They actually create a Zoom call in which they have two different lines, and he's able to make a recording of his voice on one track and then play back a beat on another track so Aleem can have a beat to rap over, because that's very important. Mm-hmm. And then Nick has developed various methods for bringing out the voice in various ways and creating the instrumentals so that it enhances the voice rather than masks it. So there was quite a bit of experimentation. There's no manual on how to record an album from prison.
Right. Wow, that's so fascinating. Now, also turning, I know a lot of community radio listeners either are musicians or love live music. So if you'll permit me to deviate a little bit from exactly on the book to some of your background and expertise, I've heard a lot of debate from musicians at music festivals over the use of technology in music, even to the extent of, like, say, a drum kit where the drummer is using an electronic drum instead of, like, real drums. There are some people that would get really offended by that sort of thing, and I know it goes on to vocals and the use of computer techniques to even out vocal sounds and this sort of stuff. What are your thoughts on that sort of thing and how music is being affected in terms of how it's made as a musicologist?
Well, you basically asked a question that touches on my whole career as a musicologist, because that is one of the central questions that I ask. And my recent book before Rap and Redemption is called Music and Technology, A Very Short Introduction. And I argue that technology does not stand apart from music, but it is actually integral to every aspect of music. So I try to actually, I push back against the kind of binary of music versus technology, because obviously things like microphones and synthesizers or auto-tune, those are obvious examples of technology. But I argue that that drum kits, pianos, organs, acoustic guitars, even the human voice is a form of technology because of the way it's used as a tool. So I challenge people to think more holistically about technology as not as an invasive species or force, but as integral to what we do. So although I understand why people might resist certain types of technology, I'm loath to say, therefore, technology is bad, because there's so many forms of technology that we embrace. So rather than posit a kind of binary, I look at it as a spectrum that, that the piano is an incredibly complex piece of technology that has way more parts than, say, a drum machine has, and yet
that's
an instrument, one isn't.
Great point. I never actually thought of that, but you're perfectly right. Of course, a lot of my listeners here will remember people who yelled at Bob Dylan when he brought out electric guitars and such, and in the bluegrass world, which I'm somewhat part of, there was great consternation 20, 30 years ago when drum kits were brought onto stage for bluegrass acts. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You're right. Music changes, technology changes. I guess it's more how you're using it than that you're using it.
Yes, exactly.
And that brings us around right back to your book, again, Rap and Redemption on Death Row, Seeking Justice and Finding Purpose Behind Bars, just out on UNC Press by Aleem Braxton and Mark Katz. Professor Katz, any last thoughts you want to leave our Chapel Hill Carborough community radio audience with?
Well, of course, I would encourage people to read the book, but the reason is that I feel like it really challenges people to think about redemption in nuanced and deep ways, and ask questions like what do we owe our incarcerated citizens? What are the limits of redemption? Can we allow someone who is a convicted murderer to redeem him or herself? I think, I don't make that. That's not a decision I have made in terms of Aleem. I have my own feelings about this, but I would love people to come away from this book thinking really, really deeply about our justice system and how we treat others and what it means to be redeemed.
Wow. Great words to think about. Rap and Redemption on Death Row, Seeking Justice and Finding Purpose Behind Bars by Aleem Braxton and Mark Katz here on your community radio station. And what we try to do on Between the Covers, a literature quickie, is think. And great words. Great to have you on the show. Again, this is Tofu Dave on your community radio station, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carver. Stay with us and be with us next week for another edition of Between the Covers.